This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
That is one of my favorite drops. It never fails.
Yeah, we're still broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. It's Bernstein and Harris. We're halfway through the show, which is the last show of the week. Layla Rahimi in, Dan off for the week, and we are having a good time here on a Friday. We're treating it like a Friday. We're playing fast and loose, right? That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean, at least we show up to our job, unlike the dude who didn't for 6 years and got an award.
Man, he's my hero. He's definitely on the work Hall of Fame, like Mount Rushmore type situation. Because to do it for that long, it's okay to do it for a couple of weeks. Like you saw Office Space where it's just like the details were off and... What's my man's name? Milton. Yeah, Milton.
The swingline stapler.
Yeah.
But the difference was he had been fired and kept coming into work. This guy hadn't. He was in charge of a wastewater plant. It's not like...
Yeah.
He was in charge of something important.
Yeah, hopefully that engineering held up on those projects that he was doing. And you know what? We hope that Ryan Poles keeps coming to work, keeps doing his job, and stays on the straight and narrow path because the NFL draft is up next. The Bears have done a pretty good job in free agency. I think we can all agree to that. It's just a matter of now, what's next? How will you finish this offseason? Will you finish strong? So to that end, a lot of drafts are out. Some people are on their third mock draft, like 3.0 mock draft. Meanwhile, football man for the Chicago Tribune, Brad Biggs, has released his draft 1.0.
Huh!
So we thought we should take a look at it and see what Brad Biggs is talking about. If you don't have a subscription to the Chicago Tribune, I suggest you get on board. And the lead of this story just kind of sets you up. Owners of the number one NFL draft pick the last 2 years. The Chicago Bears will have to wait until number 10 for their first selection this year. General manager Ryan Poles traded away the first pick in 2023. And after winding up at number 10 following another trade, he selected right tackle Darnell Wright. The Bears kept the top last pick last year, using it on quarterback Caleb Williams. All right. So, in the last decade, the 10th pick has yielded wide receivers Garrett Wilson, Devontae Smith, J.J. McCarthy, Josh Rosen, Patrick Mahomes. This is not a great class for quarterbacks, but no position is more consistently overdrafted by teams in dire straits. Bears very familiar with that description. Now, this affects them directly now because the more quarterbacks selected in the top 9 picks, the more prospects at positions they're eyeing get pushed down the board towards number 10. No first-round pick has been traded this year. I found that very interesting. And this mock draft is presented without any projected trades because, as Brad Biggs points out, it's hard enough to project the picks as it is. Layla, number one, not a shocker to anyone on his board. He's got the Tennessee Titans taking Cam Ward. This is expected, right?
Absolutely.
You could see it. The argument can be made for Abdul Carter, but the Titans
need a quarterback.
Yeah, they've had a little too much mayo on their plate the last couple of years. Fair to say Will Levis's time is on shaky ground.
It is.
Cleveland Browns up next. You could argue they need a quarterback.
You absolutely could, especially with the fact that you don't know what Deshaun Watson is. You don't know the physical condition that he's in.
But according to Brad Biggs, they're going to take Abdul Carter, the defensive end from Penn State.
Not surprising to see Carter go in the top three.
So you're wondering, all right, what about Shedeur Sanders? Is he going to get drafted early, or is he going to be one of these guys who falls down? Brad Biggs says the Giants will take him at number three. You go with that? Does that make sense?
I wonder if it hinges at all on whether or not the Giants are really in play for Aaron Rodgers.
And maybe this changes if they get Aaron Rodgers. Maybe it doesn't.
I actually wonder if it shouldn't, because that's a pretty great... If you're a rookie quarterback and you're coming in and say Aaron Rodgers is the starting QB, and that's a big if, given his age.
You can sit.
The pressure's off. You know, the pressure's off for at least a year. Shedeur Sanders seems like he's built like that to me. Yeah, he's built for that life.
Could you see the Colorado Buffaloes, could you see them having picks back-to-back? Because Brad Biggs sees it that way. He says the Patriots, he's got Travis Hunter going to them. You know, it's hard for me to imagine Travis Hunter playing both wide receiver and cornerback for that particular team.
I think it's hard to see him doing it for any NFL team, given how many responsibilities there are now when it comes to what you're supposed to do for each group that you're in position-wise out of the week. I think about the coverages.
Maybe he starts as a cornerback and then has sub-packages for him on offense.
I assumed that his higher value out of the two positions was defensive.
Absolutely. In today's NFL, if you're a lockdown corner, if you're projected as such, those don't grow on trees.
That's what's earning you money.
Exactly. There's a lot of wide receivers out there, but there's not a lot of guys doing the types of stuff that... we've seen
the high paid wide receivers are getting paid, as we just saw
yes.
in Cincinnati. But if you can be an effective corner, you will get paid.
All right. So that gets us to the Jacksonville Jaguars at number five. Brad Biggs has defensive tackle Mason Graham out of Michigan going to Jacksonville. Here's what Brad Biggs writes about that. New GM James Gladstone got the job in part because he was part of a Rams front office that drafted well. The Jaguars could use an edge rusher as 2022 number one pick. Trevon Walker hasn't lived up to his draft slot. They can also fortify the middle of the line with Graham.
Graham is very highly rated. There are a lot of people, not just Michigan biased, who think that he can be the type of player that I wouldn't put him in the likes of Aiden Hutchinson, but somebody you can build around on your line.
Somebody who can disrupt the passing game and the quarterback and still get the job done against the rushing game as well. So number six, we got the Las Vegas Raiders. We're getting closer and closer to 10, by the way. Jalen Walker, edge out of Georgia. This feels like a good pick for the Raiders because the Raiders need the best player available. They're in that type of a mode.
Yeah, and he's also somebody who people like the range that he plays with. He had decent sack numbers, you know, 6.5 last season for Georgia. So that's somebody who graded well.
And number seven, we have the New York Jets. Don't forget that they have a new quarterback because Aaron Rodgers has left the building, and Justin Fields agreed to a 2-year, $40 million contract. Brad Biggs says tight end Tyler Warren out of Penn State. Do you like that fit?
Tight ends are deserving of going in at least the top 15.
Well, he'd be the top tight end off the board.
Yeah, at number seven.
He'd be definitely a safety blanket of sorts for a younger guy. And I say younger like he's still 20. He's not that young. Justin Fields has been around for a minute now.
Yeah, once you're under second contract, you know. You're considered a vet at that point.
More edge work from the Carolina Panthers. Mykel Williams out of Georgia to the Panthers. You good with that? I feel like this...
Yeah, because they've been building through the lines.
Yeah, I feel like everyone is now on the same page as far as if we don't have a good line, we're just going to build up our line and worry about the other stuff a little bit later.
They're going to draft, yes. Or at least do what the Bears did, which was create their own free agency.
And the Panthers did look better at the end of last season compared to the beginning of last season as well.
And if you heard Ben Johnson mention them at the combine, he did mention the part about how they built through their lines. Like you saw that offensive line help really help for them in the latter part of the season.
That takes us to pick number 9, a.k.a. the pick right before the Bears. Brad Biggs says the New Orleans Saints will take a right tackle. Out of Missouri, Armand Membu. Here's what he said about this. The Saints are mired in ongoing cap issues and will have to draft their way out of mediocrity. Barring a trade down, this will be the first time they have picked in the top 10 since choosing USC defensive tackle Cedric Ellis, 7th in 2008. Membu projects as a top flight right tackle or guard.
But I'm surprised that he's drafted before the next name.
Okay, so we're at 10 now. And this is where the running back conversation has to happen, because there are no running backs off the board. We know it's a deep running back class, but we've been told someone of Saquon Barkley or Bijan Robinson. I don't want to get you started.
It wasn't getting me started. It was just those were the facts surrounding his recruitment.
Yes, Bijan Robinson was that dude. So much so that the Bears thought the dude behind him should be drafted highly. So there's that. Brad Biggs has the Bears taking left tackle Will Campbell out of LSU. We know about the arm
That would be great.
Does that deserve that particular horn?
Yes. That is.
I know. To me, the two horns are kind of interchangeable at this point.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. So Will Campbell, he's got short arms. I'm tired of hearing about it, honestly. I'm just reminding people because that's like the thing about his scouting report.
But his arms. They're only 32 5/8 inches long.
It's something he's been dealing with his entire life.
And his wingspan is 77, which is notable because other guys, I was listening to a draft expert. I listened to two different draft podcasts this morning. I can't remember if this was Dane Brugler or Benjamin Solak. But they're talking about how the last couple tackles who were drafted that had shorter arms under that 34-inch mark that people look at did have 80-plus-inch wingspan. So Will Campbell having 77 is a little meaningful.
Right, yeah. Because his torso is also not as wide.
Yeah, like his shoulders aren't broad enough to...
Wingspan. Yeah,
yeah. No, I got it. So
I also agree that the arm length and wingspan thing might be a little overplayed, but just about every draft expert and team people that have worked for teams say it does mean something for tackles. So.
But coaches are different about it. Like, coaches don't see it as being as necessary. Additionally, we've talked about this before. It's been pointed out. Braxton Jones has upper percentile arm length. Like, he's over average to the upper portion of that percentile. How has that worked out?
My big issue is...
I care more about your base and how low you're playing in your legs. And that's why I like Campbell. He plays with body leverage.
Yes, that is important. And this was a knock. He talked about this. This was a knock on him when he got recruited at LSU. In his college recruitment, they're like, oh, but your arms are short. He did pretty well at LSU. And I don't know if you know, but they play in the SEC. And he goes up against some of the other guys who were listed above him in this draft that he would have to stop.
So I think that the arm length thing from a scouting perspective, and the reason there's not a lot of tackles in the NFL, like high level tackles that don't have that wingspan, is because of the ability to punch outside.
Right.
Like, that extra inch and a half is meaningful if you're trying to punch outside. If a guy's starting to get around you, that extra inch and a half is meaningful to be able to punch outside and throw him off his route.
I understand that idea, but I also think that it really is a case-by-case basis for the reasons I just mentioned. Like, Braxton Jones is a good example. He doesn't play as low. You know, his base and his legs are not as wide relative to his body, like Will Campbell's, for example. When
right.
Will Campbell's is in pass pro, he looks like he's more like a triangle, you know, because of how he stands. Jones is more upright. I think that matters just as much. It's about how you're using that frame. But I can understand why it's discussed. I just don't know that I think it's that serious. I think if you put him up against Campbell, against somebody else, say this is true. Say Campbell gets drafted by the Bears and he's in a position battle with Braxton Jones. I think it's a fair fight.
Do you think Braxton Jones can hold off Will Campbell?
I don't know. I know that Brad Biggs had an article earlier this week where he talked about how he thinks there's going to be competition at that left tackle spot outside of Jones and Amagaji.
I think there should be. I think that's healthy competition, and I welcome it because, well, I just want to see the Bears block people. You know? Get the best five up front.
That's, when you look at it retrospectively, that's a lot of capital that they've spent on the line. Like a lot of bodies, a lot of contracts, a lot of deals, a lot of draft picks, but I don't care. Go ahead. If that's who is truly the best available and it can help you immensely, I don't hate it at all.
And I think that another thing with Will Campbell is that, okay, let's say you take him and you figure out, like, okay, he's not really an NFL tackle. I think he's definitely going to be a good guard if you move him there. So at that point, if you say, okay, try him at tackle, didn't really work out, but now we're probably moving on from Joe Tooney, and here's our left guard.
And also someone who, in a pinch, can swing out to left tackle, which versatility is the name of the game when you're talking about offensive linemen in general, but specifically a guy who could probably play projected at a Pro Bowl level at the guard spot, if not be a good left tackle in the NFL. I want to go a couple of spots deeper in this draft, though, to get to a specific name, which I know you know who I'm talking about. But the 49ers draft 11th, projected by Brad Biggs to take Will Johnson, the cornerback out of Michigan. That's one more. And then the next spot is a team you know a little bit about, right, Lila? The Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones and company projected to take running back out of Boise State, Ashton Jeanty. And here's what Brad Biggs says about this. The Cowboys could use another piece for Matt Eberflus's defense, but it's a perfect fit for Jerry Jones to tap the super talented running back who played at Lone Star High School in Frisco, Texas.
Jerry does love a good local guy.
So I'm interested to see if this is how it goes. If this is how it goes, I'm fine with it. But Bears fans, some of them, I feel, there's a pocket who would be like, why didn't you take Jeanty? Why didn't you take Jeanty? But I trust Ben Johnson in building his offense and his playbook around that offense, that whatever running back they do end up getting will be sufficient to fulfill the needs of Ben Johnson.
It is harder to find a good left tackle that you can build around in the NFL than it is a running back to run your system.
Absolutely.
That's it.
I agree.
There is more of a supply of good running backs than there is good left tackles.
So supply and demand matters?
In this case, yeah. One you're going to pay a lot more for in free agency. Which one do you think that is?
I believe it's going to be the left tackle.
Unless you're Saquon Barkley. If that guy even gets to free agency.
And Saquon
not Saquon,
Barkley,
but your physical left tackle here.
And for Saquon Barkley, that's the industry standard as far as pay. So, yes, I agree with you completely. The offensive line is the way to go. You can, and you can look at the Eagles' offensive line, just for example, compared to what the Giants' offensive line was. And there's a reason Saquon Barkley was doing what he was doing. Some of those plays, yes, he extended them because he's a great running back. But the initial holes he was running through, you, me, Studs, Ray, the four of us together could find our way through those holes.
Well, and you know, you say like, okay, you know, even the pay scale, how much more money do you think the highest paid left tackle in the league is making compared to what Saquon Barkley, now the highest paid running back in the league, is making?
Right. That's not a function of them valuing Saquon lower than other people. It's them valuing how you need to pay left tackles. Like, that's the league's opinion.
I'm going to say somewhere between 150 to 200% of Saquon Barkley's average annual value.
Well, it depends on what part of the contract you're looking at. But if we look at total value for Trent Williams' contract, $82.6 million, Saquon Barkley's total value was $41.2.
Over how many years?
Double.
Do we know that?
That's not in front of me right
but
now.
But that's
okay.
Double. That's,
yeah, between 150 to 200%.
Did you see the note that came through via Aaron Lemming? This was a couple days ago. Aaron, thanks for pointing this out. One of my favorite Twitter follows. He says, according to SpotRack, Jonah Jackson's new contract extension numbers are out. 3 years, $52.5 million with $29.75 million guaranteed. Cap hits of $10.5 million, then $25 million, then $17 million in 2027. Deals ultimately guaranteed until 27, when they can get out of it for a $3.5 million dead figure. Come on, 2 years from now.
Yeah, that's definitely one way to look at it.
Really, a year from now. Like, you're really hoping that he produces in that year where he's got the $25 million hit as well.
He better. Let me just put it that way. All right, we're going to switch gears, talk Cubs. Alex Cohen of Marquee is going to join us to talk about, well, a team that needs a win, as in its first win of the season. We'll talk Cubs when we come back with more Bernstein and Harris, Leyla Rahimi, and on 670.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Score.
Bernstein and Harris.
You are disassociated with the common man.
Middays 10 till 2.
Who is more likely to be buying expiring meat and day-old baked goods?
That's you, because you play bingo with your help.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I can't help it that I don't play bingo with my help.
Bingo.
0-1. Grounder, left side, sliding grab, throw to first, stretch, it's in time. What a play by Miguel Rojas, and it ends the ball game.
Waiting to see if the Cubs are going to challenge here, Dan, as he's looking into the dugout. And not going to challenge.
So the Cubs, they lose 6-3 tonight, lose the first two games of the season here in Tokyo.
All right, so that's when things didn't go the way that Cubs fans and the Cubs themselves wanted things to go, starting 0-2 over in Japan. And now we have a reset of sorts, a week to get things together before the back half of the season, a.k.a. the rest of the schedule, the 160, if you will, starts. For more on that, joining us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline is Alex Cohen. He is the Marquee Sports Network play-by-play announcer, CircaLasVegas.com. Alex, thanks for joining us, and congratulations on the big promotion to being Marquee full-time.
Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it. And, it's been a nice run so far. Yeah, I was able to do some games last year and then start the season in Tokyo, albeit not with the results that Cubs fans would have hoped, but it was still it was really a tremendous experience.
And I say, you did some games. You did a no-hitter.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Yeah, well, I found out that I was doing the game, 6 hours before. And, fortunately, I was in Chicago at that time visiting some family. And it was during an Iowa Cubs off day. So I was there, and I was able to call the game. So I found out at 1 p.m., was in the booth at 6 p.m., and called a no-hitter by 9 p.m. So it was all it was a whirlwind, to say the least.
All in a day's work for Alex Cohen. And then you just wink
That's
at
right.
the camera. I do want to
That's
ask right. you, not just about the Cubs, but about your experience as well. Because if it wasn't for you, Scott Chagnon, Taylor McGregor, we wouldn't have known what was going on in Japan outside of a few other social media accounts visually. You know, the writers did a good job, but it was hard to find a lot of that content on MLB, for example. What were your takeaways from the trip overall, just from a cultural standpoint and seeing Japan in that way, being representative of a team where there was such excitement built around this?
Well, first of all, Tokyo was incredible. It was clean. People were polite. Everything was on time. I'm growing out my beard because I ate so much food that I think my face got a little fat. too much ramen, too much sushi, too much rice. But it was great. And it was really cool to see them embrace Major League Baseball, U.S. baseball. You know, you get off a train in Shibuya Crossing, and there's a Cubs hat, and there's a Dodger hat. You get off a bus. Yeah, right in front of the Tokyo Dome, and there's a hologram of Shohei Ohtani saying welcome. I mean, they really embraced what Major League Baseball is trying to do and make the game global. And you brought up Taylor McGregor and Scotty Shags, and I mean, all this wouldn't have been possible without them and their ideas. And it was TikTok Taylor taking on Tokyo, so she did a wonderful job. And we brought together some fun ideas, going to the Museum of Japanese Baseball, and we went to a pig cafe. And we were able to do it all on the Marquee Sports Network app. So for all that content, for fans who are looking at all those stories outside of the game of baseball, just download the app. Those are archived, and I spilled ramen on my shirt and ruined the shirt, and it's all in a day's work, as you said, Layla. So it was fun.
Alex, tell us more about your role, because obviously we know you're calling games as Bukshambi's official backup whenever he is not on the call. But you're doing more than that, because you've got a large role on the digital side as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, I hopefully could be a Ben Zobrist for the Marquee team, just do a little bit of everything from a digital standpoint, just being able to put stories across the 162, now 160 game season, and get a glimpse into the inside of not just baseball, but also what these players and what the staff members and what the organization does. So just trying to paint that picture, and then just be a backup to everything, because as you well know, in the midst of a summer, a lot of things can happen and schedules can get changed. So just being here in Chicago, I can't wait. I mean, I spent 7 years in Iowa and I loved it, but got some family in Chicago. I love the city of Chicago. Chicago's the best summer city in the country. So just being able to be here full time for that, it's going to be a lot of fun.
What were your impressions of what you saw out of this Cubs team in those first two games? I told Marshall when we were first watching it, given that the starting pitchers for both teams didn't go very long, for example, and the lineups and some of the decisions that were made regarding, you know, when in doubt, sit Freddie Freeman. I'm sure Cubs had no problem with that. You know, when in doubt, right. Mookie Betts is going to be ill and it's okay. Let's get him back home and get him well. But it did feel more like spring training plus. And unfortunately, those games do count against the ledger.
They do, and they count for the home games as well. So you only have, 79 openings at Wrigley Field now. But, you know, I think when you're playing meaningful games on March 19th and March 20th, yes, they're very important, but you also have to be careful. You don't want guys to get hurt because, remember, you know, most seasons you are week three, week four into spring training play, and you still have 7 to 10 days to figure out your roster and build guys up, especially pitchers. So you have to be careful with that. And I think if you talk to Craig Counsell, he was pretty transparent about his starting pitchers that, you know, they're going to let them go, but not go that far. And for Shota Imanaga to throw 4 scoreless, no hit innings, and that start against in Tokyo against, you know, Shohei Ohtani, that first at bat, for him to have those type of high leverage pitchers like that and wiggle through some traffic and he walked 4 guys but didn't give up any runs, that's a really big test for him. So I think that was really good for Shota. I thought Dansby Swanson looked really good. I thought Ian Happ looked really good. I think that Matt Shaw, a couple of really nice plays defensively at third. That defensive part of his game was a question mark because he's transitioning to a new position. He had that throwing error in game 1 against the Dodgers. So I think he passed some tests in game 2. So those are the good things. I think that they walk too many hitters. I think the situational hitting can obviously improve. You got to get Kyle Tucker, you know, not only hot, but also, you know, playing consistently and seeing the ball well. And I really think that that second game against the Dodgers, he had a fly out to the track in right center. He had that double to the opposite field. I think he's starting to see the ball well. So, and I really think as good as Kyle Tucker is, as he goes, the Cubs will go. If he is an MVP caliber player, Cubs make the playoffs. If he's not, they're going to have to find some other ways to make the playoffs.
I couldn't have put that any better. He's got to be the guy to perform. I completely agree. Situational hitting is an excellent way of describing what happened, say, against Roki Sasaki when he loaded the bases. But I also want to add this. I think it was a real positive that we saw Matt Shaw, after that bad defensive error in game 1, come back and essentially have the same motion, you know, to make an excellent play to get Will Smith out for that put out there. It really showed that he didn't let it sit with him too long defensively.
Yeah, I mean, I think Matt, he's a really talented player. He's a really smart kid. And just remember, it's only his second full pro season in baseball. He was a shortstop in college. So he's a guy that was a shortstop in college, came back, signed pro ball, played second base, and really only started playing third base last year. His instincts are more left side of the infield, so I think at 30 looks better. But really, you know, since the start of spring training last year, where you saw glimpses were rare, he could really play there. It's going to be one of those things. It's not a linear progression. I mean, it is going to be 2 steps forward, 1 step back, 1 step back, 3 step forward, 1 step back. But I think we saw the 3 steps forward in that second game. You said the play against Will Smith. He made 3 really good defensive plays in that second game. So if he can build off of that, he's the Cubs' third baseman of the future.
I'm looking forward to Matt Shaw putting together a season that would challenge for Rookie of the Year in the National League. Meanwhile, I'm looking around the division, and I'm wondering how much separation will there be between the Cubs and the Brewers, going either way, whether it's the Cubs out front, the Brewers out front. That's really where my curiosity lies. But I look at the schedule, Alex, out of the gate, and I'm trying to put it in perspective how difficult it is from jump when you look at what they have to do on the West Coast and playing so many games against the NL West. How concerned are you about the start of this through maybe the end of April?
It's going to be a tough start. You talk about that separation. There won't be much in April because both teams, the Brewers and the Cubs, and even the Reds for that matter, they have tough schedules. But for the Cubs to go to Arizona, then face off Zach Allen game 1, Corbin Burns in game 2, that's tough. To go to Sacramento and play in that ballpark where you really don't know the dimensions, you don't know how it plays, that'll be a big question mark. And then you come back home and you play the Padres and the Rangers. I mean, it's a really tough draw, but you know, I think this is a Cubs team that has enough starting pitching to keep them into games. And I think they have a much better bullpen than they did last year. And I think you saw glimpses of that during the Japan series. You saw Nate Pearson throwing 100, dotting it on the outside corner. I mean, that is a big-time arm who they haven't had in their bullpen for quite some time. Julian Merriweather's looking like Julian Merriweather back in 2023 and now 2024. You add Ryan Pressly. So you have Porter Hodge. So you have four guys right there who could really take over games in the back end of the bullpen. So if you can get 5-6 innings from your starters, I think you're in a much better position this year than you were last year, and it'll keep you in games.
Porter Hodge encouraged me. It was nice to see that where he picked up where he left off, so to speak, in his outing.
Yeah, I mean, Porter's nasty. And I think you have to remember with Porter, this time last year, he started at Double-A. I mean, he was coming off a season where he was a starter. It's a completely new role for him, you know, not only being a bullpen arm, but a back end of the bullpen arm in the big leagues, expecting to get big outs for a team that's supposed to win the NL Central. But when you're talking about stuff, I mean, he's got back end of the bullpen closer type of stuff. And I think if you can combine all that with the arms that they have right now, you have four arms that could really take over the eighth and ninth inning. And I think it's a really good spot for the Cubs.
Marshall and I have been talking about what the Cubs are going to do and what the plan is for the opener against the Diamondbacks. Do you restart and just go Imanaga, Steele, 1-2 again? Or do you try to have somebody else start in that space?
And that's a really good question. I think that also depends on how these guys bounce back, how Shota bounces back, how Steele bounces back from not only pitching those high leverage pitches and innings of the Tokyo Dome, but the travel and the jet lag. So I think that you have some options where, let's say you throw that first bullpen back in spring training and it doesn't go as well. You can start Jameson Taillon. You can start Matthew Boyd, who, remember, put up zeros at the Tokyo Dome as well, albeit against the Nippon Baseball League team. So I think that, as I said, starting pitching is a depth for the Cubs. And if you go Taillon, Boyd, Imanaga, Steele, or Steele, Imanaga, Boyd, and Taillon, I mean, like, there's mixes and matches that you could do that with. So I think the Cubs are actually in a pretty good spot with that.
Alex, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about a little Cubs. That's Alex Cohen, the Marquee Sports Network play-by-play announcer. Look forward to hearing you on the call. Maybe you'll call another no-hitter, a perfect game even.
You know what? Speak it into existence. Twist my arm, Marshall. Twist my arm. Now, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to baseball season in Chicago. Should be fun.
And get a new shirt to celebrate.
Absolutely. I might have to buy an extra size after what I ate in Japan. But no, I will definitely do that. Thanks, guys.
All right,
thanks,
Alex Cohen. We'll see if he's barefaced or not the next time we see him on television. You can follow Alex Cohen on the artist formerly known as Twitter, at Voice of Cohen. @VoiceofCohen2. When we come back, we're going to talk more about football, kind of, sort of, but really just Robert Griffin III. RG3 had an interesting tweet that...
See, you're shaking your head even already.
He was responding to some stuff about Jackie Robinson, and he is ill-informed, and that's okay, because we're here to inform the people, even the people that should know better. That's when we come back with more Bernstein and Harris. Layla Rahimi on 670 The Score.
The Bernstein and Harris Show.
I'm the best around. That you better have a hammer key.
Middays 10 till 2.
I thought this was America. Huh? Isn't this America?
What's funny is I thought this was America, too. Oftentimes, I'm like, oh, this great land, America, where I can go and work hard and do whatever I set my mind to, of course, with the help of others, with opportunities. Sometimes all you need is an opportunity. People often ask me, man, how did you get to this job? How did you get to this position? Well, I just kept working for opportunities. Sometimes that's all you need. If you don't have opportunities, you're never going to have a chance to shine. You're never going to have a chance to follow your dreams. I don't know if you guys know much about history because, well, there's a lot of people who don't. But I'm from Huntsville, Alabama. I was born in Birmingham, cradle of the civil rights movement, if you will, being from Alabama. So imagine my shock. That's completely sarcastic when I say that. When the Department of Defense removed a story from its website highlighting Jackie Robinson's military service. And then, I don't think it was 48 hours later, they restored said story on its website. It was all part of President Donald Trump's efforts to purge references to diversity, equity, inclusion through a quote-unquote digital content refresh. Now, while it does not make any references to DEI, that story on Robinson, which was posted on the Department of Defense's website, was among a swath of scrubbed from government websites in recent days. Before the story on Robinson's service was restored, the URL had redirected to one that added the letters DEI in front of sports heroes. In a statement sent by the Pentagon at 12:24 p.m. Wednesday, Press Secretary John Olyat cited Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth in saying, quote, DEI is dead at the Defense Department, and said that the Department of Defense was, quote unquote, pleased by the rapid compliance that led to the erasing of stories on Robinson, Navajo code talkers, and Ira Hayes, one of six Marines who raised the American flag at Iwo Jima. Now, at 1:46 p.m., that's less than 2 hours later, Olyat released an updated statement. Quote, everybody at the Defense Department loves Jackie Robinson, as well as the Navajo code talkers, the Tuskegee Airmen, the Marines at Iwo Jima, and so many others. We salute them for their strong and, in many cases, heroic service to our country, full stop. We do not view or highlight them through the prism of immutable characteristics such as race, ethnicity, or sex. We do so only by recognizing their patriotism and dedication to the warfighting mission, like every other American who has worn the uniform. In the rare cases that content is removed, either deliberately or by mistake, that is out of the clearly outlined scope of the directive. We instruct the components and they correct the content so it recognizes our heroes for their dedicated service alongside their fellow Americans, period. So basically what happened was they tried to erase the stories because they said, oh, this is different. There's a person of color here. We need to get rid of this because DEI is bad. Diversity, equity, and inclusion, bad.
Well, and sometimes they ascribe DEI to whatever they see fit.
Absolutely.
How many times do you and I get called DEI hires?
Hey, I am
people?
A DEI hire.
And we know what you mean.
I got no problem with it.
We know what you're saying
cool.
when you say it.
Yeah, DEI. I definitely couldn't get this job over somebody else. That's
yeah, you aren't qualified despite having worked in multiple major markets.
I've only been doing this for 26 years.
Multiple shows and covered. Yeah, no, clearly just a DEI hire, right?
Yes, but we take it a step further because while the Department of Defense did walk back its original decision to scrub those things and reinstated them,
after massive amounts of pushback from citizens who paid their checks.
Massive amounts of pushback. Robert Griffin III, enter stage right. He tweets this on March 20th, that's yesterday. Sports shows on TV should be about sports, not politics, because guess what? When this happened to Jackie Robinson, it was a hot topic on sports shows because he broke the color barrier.
He's an American hero for everything he's done.
And if you don't know about Jackie Robinson and what he had to go through to just be able to do that, read a book or five. So he got a lot of pushback for that tweet, Robert Griffin III. Sports shows on TV should be about sports, not politics. He responded to all that criticism of his tweet with another tweet. He replied to his own tweet saying, this tweet is not about Jackie Robinson. His significance could never and should never be erased. Breaking the color barrier in baseball in itself is not political. Jesse Owens winning 4 gold medals in itself was not political. Jack Johnson becoming the first black boxing heavyweight champ in itself was not political. They all had political ramifications. They all challenged the status quo of racial barriers to fair play, race relations, and civil rights. That should always be acknowledged and never forgotten. They shouldn't be used as an excuse to push political agendas on sports shows on national television to an audience there to consume sports content. Here's the problem, Robert. A lot of people love to say this. Oh, I don't do politics. I don't do politics. I stay away from politics. The hard lesson here is that you could choose to quote unquote not do politics, but politics is going to do you, baby. You got to live in this world, and politics are afoot everywhere. And the sports is not politics, that crew, you're a bunch of idiots. Sports are political.
It's not about how you see you sometimes. It's about how they see you.
And it's hilarious that Robert Griffin III doesn't know better. I find it comical, because if I didn't laugh, I would cry for the young man. I really would. And the responses on here with people saying that Jackie Robinson, he's not DEI because it was on merit. People coming to Robert Griffin's defense. And I'm like, do you understand what diversity, equity, inclusion is about? It's not about what you guys think it's about. It's simply about granting opportunities. Jackie Robinson had an opportunity. He was, by definition, DEI because he got an opportunity to be included, aka inclusion. And he had to go through hell to get it.
What's the E stand for again?
Equity.
Not equality of outcome.
No, equity.
Better equality of opportunity.
That's all it is.
Because whether or not you want to admit it, Robert Griffin, or anybody else, there was not equality of opportunity.
The irony of a black former quarterback citing this is wild. Because there was a time, not that long ago, in my lifetime, where it was thought of as absurd that black men could play quarterback. So let that sit with you. And if you need to, and if you're like, oh, I agree with Robert Griffin III, just read some books. Just read some books about history and how we got here.
You know, Robert Griffin III went to Baylor. Private school, money. You have to be either incredibly good at a scholarship sport to go there, or you have to come from some money. Well, where I went at North Texas, Directional Public School up the street, we were taught about Brown versus Board of Education. Separate is inherently unequal.
That's the ruling. But there are some people who want to reverse that ruling. I just want to point that out.
I know, but I'll say it again. Separate is inherently unequal. And until people were included, then it was a matter of politics.
Still is. Still is. You know what's not political? And I think a lot of times people, you know, they confuse political with partisan. You mean partisan when you say political. We can all get behind the Bears. We can all get behind the fact that they got people at podiums saying things that make you go, uh-huh.
We decided that we wanted to give you, since it's not the regular season, a Bears acquisition wall of sound. That's next on The Score.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.